of July 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. I was having an epiphany last night. I was thinking about all of the issues that we're facing, how our backs seem to be pushed against the wall, into a corner, seemingly nowhere to go. The level of frustration that I'm seeing from every person that I talk to, this sense of helplessness, and among all of us are people just, you know, trying to make a difference. And despite the state-controlled, communist, lying, fake news media taking orders from their masters, participating in this psychological operation designed by the globalists to effectively initiate a Marxist coup, we are a large country. And the truth is, I believe we are the majority. Despite the feeling of everyday hopelessness, we feel helpless. Let's take Arizona, for example. We have discussed on this program just recently, Arizona is completely winnable. The preliminary results, from what I understand, are in, and the world wants to see them right now. Immediate gratification. We want them on our smartphones. We want them broadcast all over our TV. And folks, that's just not going to happen. The legislature packs up and goes home. There is a reason for that. And in a time like right now, when I'm asking for patience, I know you're going, Stu, what do you mean patience? Our country is falling. But those people who are in positions to make a difference understand that. They do. And if you pay attention, if you listen, you'll know that. You'll recognize that. President Trump, both in Ohio and recently in Sarasota, said, personally, he said out loud, 2024, people asking me about running for president. 2022, making a difference in the midterms. Folks, we don't have that kind of time. President Trump said that. He acknowledges that. 2022, we won't have a country by then, I believe was verbatim his exact quote. These people are fighting. Arizona is a game changer. And that's why Democrats have been attacking it so fervently. They're using the aforementioned propaganda machine to make you believe that you are crazy for seeking the truth. Among the great awakening will be the great divide. Families are falling apart. Families are split. Different ideologies, different beliefs, different opinions. Get the vaccine, don't get the vaccine. Is it a vaccine? Is it not a vaccine? Is it poisonous? Is that propaganda? Are you crazy for thinking so? Meanwhile, we're watching thousands of people die. And that is what the truth is. Don't feel crazy for seeking the truth. Don't let them beat you. Stay the course. There are heroes in Arizona that need our support. They need our funding. They need our prayers. We're continuously being pushed around with this vaccine rhetoric, made to believe that two-thirds of the country is voluntarily subjecting themselves to this poisonous cocktail, despite the overwhelming evidence of its destruction, an unprecedented number of injuries, serious diagnoses, death. Do you believe those numbers? Do you believe the two-thirds of this country are rushing, tripping over each other, fighting physically to get to the front of the line, to get shot up with this thing, this unknown thing? I just don't believe it. I do not believe that only a third of our country is hesitant to get stuck in the arm with something they have no idea about. And if the propaganda machine really is that strong, then we know where we need to focus our efforts, and that is getting our truth out, getting our word out, speaking to somebody every single day, a call to action, making a difference. 530 people are sitting in solitary confinement in Washington, D.C., while fundraising grifter attorneys are trying to convince them to take a plea deal for an immediate fix. I mean, are they just grifting, or are they just plain stupid? Hold out for discovery. You could save the country. The point is, a call to action is required. The point is, knowing what to do in your daily life. If you are in a position where you feel that you know the truth, if you are in a position where you have the ability to share that truth, if you're in a position where you feel like your life is falling apart, or you're losing relationships or friendships, if you feel like your back is against the wall when you're dealing with your kids, for example, do they go back to school? Do they wear a mask here? Do they have to get the injection? Do I have to get it at work? I mean, it's insane what we're dealing with. There's no other word for it, really. A call to action is required. How do we deal with the daily stresses? How do we become strong enough to actually have a clear idea of what it is that we need to do on a daily basis? It gets so clouded and lost in this overwhelming influx of information that is shoved down your throat like you're drinking from an exploded fire hydrant. It really is like that. And that is the whole purpose. That is how you accomplish the goal. Ask prisoners of war. These are psychological tactics that are used. Study our history. Our history will tell you the tactics that are going to be used to change this country in the future. Look at Marxist regimes. Look at communist regimes. Authoritarian governments that overthrow a country with hundreds of millions of people in it can't just do it by saying, okay, I'm here. I'm in charge now. There has to be a tactic, a method, a way of beating you mind, body, and soul. They defeat you. They beat you down. They shock you with chaos, chaos in the streets. Imagine people burning down neighborhoods in the name of a career criminal home-invading thug. That is where we are. The media is not showing you the truth. The media is not bringing you the truth about black people doing pro-police demonstrations while white Antifa members riot and burn things down. We just posted at Red Voice Media this morning. There was a story about this. I was talking with a former FBI agent who worked in public corruption, counterterrorism, Mexican drug cartels. He was a tactical medic. He worked in the behavioral analysis unit. You guys remember Criminal Minds, the BAU, Hotchner? This guy really did that. What an interesting job. He understands the mind. He understands the brain. He was actually on the protective detail for the Attorney General. He has had so many experiences that have led him down this road, this clarity that he has found, and he considers himself to be a rescuer throughout his life, having served as a ski patroller, EMT, firefighter, and in law enforcement. He's always been drawn to helping those in need, and after talking to him, I told him he absolutely has to come on the show. He's joining us now. Roman Garcia, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Stu.
Am I overstating this? Am I making something out of nothing? Or am I over the target? Do I have my finger on the pulse of this thing?
Well, this is, I think, some of the things I hear you say on your show is you use this term fear addiction. You know, you're talking about this call to action. You're talking about patriotism. Some of our patriots come home from the front lines, and what do? They want to put a gun in their mouth because the battle at home is as intense or more intense than what they're seeing in Afghanistan or wherever they're at, you know? So it's crazy. A lot of the listeners have diabetes or obesity or whatever. And there's a pandemic going on, definitely. But that pandemic is a pandemic of fear, of deceit, of contention, of just negativity. It's a pandemic of evil that's going on. So that's where I come in.
You have worked in the BAU, the Behavioral Analysis Unit. You have studied the criminal mind.
Yes.
You have a good understanding of what happens in one's brain when it becomes overloaded, leads people to do things they would not normally do.
Right.
Fear is probably the one emotion that can lead anybody, any single person, and specifically large masses of people to do a certain thing.
Right.
Let's just so take... Go ahead. Because I was...
Regarding fear, yeah, fear is... Fear is a feeling, right? Everything we do in life, you could pull anything out of the hat, anything we do in life is because of a feeling that we have. If we're going to sit at home and watch Netflix tonight and drink alcohol and eat a bunch of ice cream, that's because of a feeling we have. If we want to lay in bed instead of getting out and working out or going to work, that's because of a feeling. If we want to double our income this year, that's because of a feeling. So what I talk about is feelings. And it's not real popular because men aren't supposed to have feelings, but feelings drive a veteran to come home and take pain pills and put a gun in his mouth. Feelings drive people to go to a rally and throw bottles at police cars. Feelings drive everything that we're seeing. Everything. Feelings are behind everything.
Let's talk COVID-19. The thing factually is just not deadly. I mean, it's not. It's not a deadly, right, world-ending plague. It's not a harmful virus. 99.989% of people who contract this thing survive with minimal treatment or none at all.
Right.
And then the treatments become politicized because Big Pharma is in this thing for trillions of dollars. Yeah. There are people who stand to benefit. If COVID-19...
That's part of the pandemic of deceit that we're talking about.
Yeah. You know? So what is it going to... I guess, what is it going to take? Because it's a... My feeling, if you want to talk about feelings, is frustration. And I think that there's an overwhelming amount of that in the Patriot community. Why don't people see it? Or do they? And are we being fed a line of BS by the media to make us feel like nobody's seeing it?
Right.
In other words, is the media just talking to themselves while we all laugh at them?
I mean, it's both, right? Because, I mean, look at what happens when like a Snickers commercial comes on TV or whatever. It's like, dang, I want a Snickers now. Or it's all thoughts that are put into our mind that cause feelings. So it's like, hey, I didn't want Kentucky Fried Chicken until I saw the Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial. Same thing with all these things. The more thoughts that we can have about, you know, fear or manipulation or whatever, that it kind of drives our feelings. We're like sheep, you know, we're being herded to a certain destination, and that destination is money and power for the people at the top, evil.
So what do we do?
So what I mean, this is a call, like you said, there's a call to action. So what I try to encourage people to do, well, I don't encourage people to do anything. Basically, there's a few people, you know, let's say you have 10 million listeners. There's a few people listening today that say, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I want to make a change. So I'm here to kind of motivate people that you can make a change if you want to. Change is just a choice. Some people don't know how to make a change, like in my personal life. So irregardless of my background with public service and law enforcement and the FBI and all that stuff, I put myself through hell with two divorces. My kids were separated from me. It was like the worst. And it was like an Achilles heel. You think about Achilles, you know, he was dipped in gold, and that little spot on his heel was like his whole downfall. I could not function. I would go to the bathroom at the FBI, grown man with a gun, and I would cry like a little baby. You know, I could not shoot sometimes because of text messages or interchange, you know, at the firing range, of course. But, you know, I couldn't function. I couldn't figure out how to be happy. And this was because of the crap that I was putting in my mind. And so through my journey, I figured out, like, gradually, line upon line, how to get over this stuff. Now I work with people individually, one-on-one or in groups, to figure this out in a short amount of time, in 1 or 2 weeks or 3 months or whatever, something that took me a decade. So to answer your question, there's a call to action to those few people who want to make a change today, people who are listening to this and want to make a change, but don't know how. Maybe they've gradually just gone as a sheep to the slaughter and eaten the Western diet, and their cholesterol has risen, or they're pre-diabetic. How many people do you know are pre-diabetic or diabetic? Most people I know are that way, or obese, or people that are on pills, or people that have a not so stellar relationship with their wife, or they don't agree with their kids, or any of the above. These are real issues that are driving people. You know, the suicide rate, not just among veterans, but the suicide rate in 1 year has risen 30%. You know, we're being isolated by this pandemic, or this pandemic of fear and deceit. You know, people are isolated. I think of this analogy, kind of like we've all watched like the National Geographic or Mutual of Omaha, where there's a couple wolves like running around the side of a herd of buffalo.
Yeah,
and they find one that's weak and that's sick and that's not as fast as the rest, and that just isn't keeping up with the crowd. And then that one kind of isolates itself. And then when we're isolated, the wolves come in and they freaking tear you apart. So we're being isolated by alcoholism, by infidelity, by pornography, by addiction to our phones, by physical isolation with the COVID. And it's not good for us. So
I would love to be able to put my phone down more often. You know, my living is generated with my phone. I have to go out. I have to research. I have to find the information. Then I have to. I mean, this is the I've chosen this role. So I have to do it in order to live up to what I have said that I'm going to do or respond to a particular calling and providing certain information. It's just coming in so yeah. rapidly that I'm trying to disseminate what's real and what's not, and then get it out to the masses to try to do something to combat this. I really would like to be able to put my phone down more often. Unfortunately,
that's the thing I see. I see, you know, handsome, successful, educated people, men and women, that are at the top of their game, but one of their things is not in balance. It might be your time with your family, you know, and that you made that same commitment to your family that you just made to your career. You know, and what if you could have both? Are there people that do have both? Yes, there are. What can we do to get to that point? Is there, I heard of a guy who would wake up at four in the, who woke up at four in the morning to take his kid to an all night bowling alley, because that was the time he had available to him, you know? So it's all there. We all have the same 24 hours in a day, and some people are getting it done, and some people are look successful on the outside, but some things aren't in balance. I heard a quote, I think David O. McKay said, no other success could compensate for failure in the home. And success is awesome, but failure is, it's debilitating.
I've been talking here for about 16 minutes and 20 seconds. I've been with you for probably about 10 of those minutes. And in those 10 minutes, I feel like I have learned so much. I mean, seriously, honestly, I'm not just saying that for, this isn't an infomercial.
And this is me. This is the only reason I'm here is because I suffered in a self-imposed solitary confinement. I would come home, you know, as an FBI agent, you carry all this weird crap on you, gun, badge, creds, two phones, knife, ammo, handcuffs. Like I would come home and unload my, I would walk upstairs, unload my stuff, sit on the edge of the bed, put my stuff in a safe. And I would sit there thinking, I'll never be able to figure this out. And so another thing to ask your listeners is, how much is it costing you to feel the way you're feeling? This frustration, this out of balance, this, you know, this little feeling of out of control, this type 2 diabetes, this discord with your wife. What is that costing you? And sometimes you could put a monetary value on it, but sometimes you can't. And if you challenge yourself too, it's like, how much would you pay to get rid of this feeling? It's like removing a cancer. We'll spend $6,000 to go to Hawaii, but we don't invest in ourselves sometimes. So again, this is a call to action for people who want to make a change. I could help you make a change, but there's millions of people out there. There's self-help books, there's diet books, there's people out there just with their hand outstretched waiting to help people that are willing to make a change.
He's a former FBI agent. He's a licensed private investigator. You primarily focus on cryptocurrency fraud and recovery, but you're a certified life coach and you work with men and women experiencing parental alienation, for example, and you help anyone who wants to learn how to not hate their lives anymore. It is super noble what you're doing. And listen, there is so much going on right now, Roman. The FBI is a hot button in and of itself.
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, look at this, what appears to be complete orchestration, collusion, and participation in what appears to be one of the greatest setups of all time, perpetuated at the hands of the FBI. They're targeting, you know, people for political ideologies, for religious faith, for all of these things, for the president that they support. The FBI, of all places. I mean, when I was growing up, and I'm going to date myself here because, you know, I have these ideologies. But when I was growing up, my father, my mother, I mean, you were raised to respect law enforcement. And the FBI was like, wow, you know, I mean, this is the, you see the guys in the blue jackets with the yellow FBI here and on the back, the raid jackets. You see the, you know, the body armor and that feeling is what led me to get into the fugitive apprehension investigation business for as long as I was in it. And you get there and you realize, well, this really isn't that cool. But you have a lot of insight to provide. And unfortunately, I got to leave it there. I got to go. But the insight that you have to provide, if somebody wants to get a hold, are you willing to talk to people? If these people are like, hey, I really like this guy, I feel comfortable talking to him. Wow, what he really said hit home.
Yeah, I'd love to talk. Two things about the FBI come to mind. Emperor's New Clothes. We fake it, you know, even though we're not as good as awesome as we think we are. But we try to push that agenda, Emperor's New Clothes, and Keystone Cops. We're not as efficient as you would think we are.
It's kind of a psychological operation in and of itself. You know, yes, I mean, you,
it's a brand.
Yeah, there it's you go. It's a brand and they heavily advertise it. How can people get a hold of you if they want to talk to you? I mean, if
so,
you know, anything
yeah,
about-
just come to my website. It's pretty simple. RomanGarciaLifeCoaching.com. You could sign up. I do free consultations and mini sessions with people to talk about what I do. Yeah. Call to action. If you're ready to change, you can pick me or thousands of other people. Just we encourage you to make a change.
Thoughts are so important. They create everything that we have in life, money, quality, relationships, health, careers, even happiness. Give that website one more time, Roman.
RomanGarciaLifeCoaching.com.
RomanGarciaLifeCoaching.com. I could talk to you for an hour. I'd really love to hear more about your past, specifically in the FBI, but I suppose people can ask you that personally as well. Roman Garcia, thank you so much for being here. The Stu Peters Show continues momentarily with an unprecedented first time ever type style of debate on this program between two Canadians. They both claim to be patriots, Chris Skye and Mark Friesen, coming up next. Conversations like that with that guy, Roman Garcia, former FBI agent, a ton of insight. That is why I absolutely cannot picture doing anything else. Sitting here being able to talk to so many interesting people, like what we're about to do next, unprecedented. As you know, Chris Skye was on the program. He's a patriot, a very loud voice for Canada. Unified Noncompliance, Just Say No. He's the author of that book. He was here talking about an experience that he had in Canada. And Mark Friesen, a politician there in Canada, took exception to what was said. Well, we're going to have them both here. We're going to have a debate. We are in search of the truth. Always will give people a platform to be able to work out these kinds of differences, remembering that we are all here to resist the globalists, to resist this communistic takeover. And what you can do to give yourself a little satisfaction, get some socks. Yeah, I said it. Get some socks. StepOnSocks.com. I know you'll be patient with me while I tell you about our great friends because they're patriots. These are 100% patriot-designed socks. You get a three-pack for just $17.76. We knew that you would like that number. These are high-quality 100% cotton socks. Of course, red, white, and blue coming in the three-pack. You can get the classic version, which has the names of all of the globalists. Biden, Obama, Pelosi, Clinton, Gates, Fauci. You can step on these snakes all day long and have a sense of satisfaction while you're doing it. Or you can check out the brand-new Trader Joe featuring Biden, the faux president, the fake president. You can step on him all day long by going to steponsocks.com or get my personal favorite, Step on Fake News. Step on Socks. I have come to know these people and they are great patriots. Do business with them, please. Also, they've diversified. Silver available, Second Amendment flags there, and there's a brand new sock coming this week. I got mine. I can't reveal it yet, but get to steponsocks.com right now. They make a great gift and an anonymous gift, or maybe a package that you send to your liberal neighbor. Maybe that indoctrinator, that so-called teacher that your kids has. Teacher Day, Teacher Appreciation Day. There you go. Go to steponsocks.com right now. Get a three-pack for just $17.76. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters when you go to steponsocks.com. Well, as you can see by looking at the screen, this is not our normal format. I'm joined by Chris Skye and, of course, Mark Friesen. There was some controversy surrounding a recent appearance when Chris Skye appeared on this platform giving an account of what happened at an event in Canada. Chris Skye has now been accused of cutting off children's choirs and hijacking an event. I did receive a message on Facebook at the Stu Peters Show business page or public page, whatever it is, in our inbox from Mark Friesen disputing Chris Skye's account of that event. Of course, always seeking the truth. We are here to bring it. I will also mention that I was contacted by Mike Phillip, who is the host of Americanuck Radio on Mojo 50, who apparently had you on as well, Mark, talking about this particular event. So with that being said, no official timer is happening here. Each one of you will have your allotted time. Please don't interrupt one another. And because Chris was already here to give his account, Mark, you have the beef with that. You have a counter narrative to what Chris said. So I'm going to give you the opportunity. Go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Stu. And really, it is about the truth. And so when I watched the segment with Chris and yourself on July 2nd, there were red flags going off everywhere with what Chris's narrative that he had weaved. So my perspective is considerably different. Now, I'm the founder of the Forum for Canadian Sovereignty. I've been active for probably 18 years in this realm of globalism and opposing it. And so when lockdowns came, I organized the first Canada Day in this time that we find ourselves in. And that was last year, so a little over a year ago. And so there was a committee formed for this year. They asked me to be part of it, help promote it. So I gladly accepted and took on that responsibility. So within the committee, within the organization committee, there was never, nobody had ever said that Chris Guy was going to be speaking. In fact, I was provided with a speakers list about 2 weeks before the event. And I looked at the list, and of course, Chris Guy's name wasn't on it. And so I brought that up in one of the Zoom calls that we had with the committee. And I asked, is there a particular reason Chris Guy isn't on the list? And the committee's response was that they are putting together an event with a very careful message of Canadian culture, our heritage, how we built this country. And this is the message that all the speakers were given. This is what we want to present. And Chris's message didn't fit that narrative, didn't fit that messaging. And so they didn't think that Chris was a good fit. And I said, okay, I can respect that. However, Chris is a very large voice. Chris has been in this fight for a long time. He has a good message in terms of the freedom message in Canada and freedom rallies and protests. He's leveraged a lot of big media. And quite frankly, if we say no, there's going to be problems. There's going to be drama. So just recognize that. And that was what I left it at. So at no time was Chris invited, to my knowledge, by anybody. And so as we move forward toward this, on Monday the 28th at 10:30 p.m. My time, 12:30 a.m. Kellyanne Wolf's time, she contacted me, which is one of Chris's cohorts, I guess, basically begging and threatening to make sure that Chris Guy is on the list, which I find very interesting because this documentation that I've been in receipt of prior to this interview, showing that some message from No More Lockdowns, a no reply email address saying that Chris is in fact invited. This was during the day on Monday. If that was true and Chris was in fact invited through this email, which I question, why would she then need to call me to make sure that Chris is invited and to make sure that we try to get him on the speakers list? She told me at that time that he can't speak live, maybe remotely. I told her in a text message that I sent you, Stu, that if there happens to be time, maybe we can squeeze him in remotely, but it's not up to me. It's up to the other chiefs of this committee. Fair enough. So we move forward to the actual day of the event. Actually, in the interim, there was a flyer that was created with Chris Guy's name on it. And on the flyer, it shows the Parliament. Our event was at the Supreme Court. The flyer that went out with Chris's name on it had the Parliament in the background. So they were promoting their event, which was going to happen at 3 p.m. after our event finished. And so that's what was sent out to mislead Chris's followers, to mislead the people that listen and watch Chris Guy, to get them there. Because I believe that Chris was prepared to hijack this event if we were not going to give him an opportunity to speak. And I knew it. And I called it 2 weeks prior. So Chris shows up to the event. We're doing the event. Chris is there. And there's trouble happening on the other side of the stage with Chris and a few of the other people. Herbert Hildebrand, who was the stage manager and lead organizer. I went over to talk to them to find out what was happening. I asked Chris, what's going on? He said, they won't let me speak. I said, well, Henry or Herbert, we have to let him speak. We give him 5 minutes. I looked at Chris. We'll get you on. Chris said, okay, thank you. And that was the end of it, I thought. And then there was something else that happened. And Chris started to move toward the stage again, interfering with what we were doing. And I went over again. I said, Chris, you're going to speak. Don't worry. You're on the list. And Chris, maybe you can verify that. Maybe you can tell the truth and say that it was me that actually got you your time to speak. Then something happened with Randy Hillier. There was some more happening on stage. There was interruptions. So Randy Hillier went over, said something to Chris Guy. I wasn't present, so I can't say what was said.
I've seen the video. Hearsay. He told him to go F himself.
Yeah, something along those lines is what I'm hearing. So that, of course, upset Chris. I see Chris getting upset. I went back over. Chris, don't worry about what Randy says. You're going to get your time. You're going to get your time to speak. Cause I could see what was happening. It was moving toward chaos and I'm trying to save the event. So fine. Chris takes that for what it is. And We move forward. Chris gets his time to speak, but there's something else happening. I went back over again. It's actually on video where I came in from behind Chris, and I told him specifically, you are speaking right after Derek Sloan. Derek was up shortly at that point because we needed to get Chris to say what he needs to say so he could let the rest of the event go on without being disrupted. And so Chris got his 5 minutes. We told him it was 5 minutes. I think at that point, at the 5 minute mark, somebody cut his mic, which I think is inappropriate. I don't think you do that at this type of thing. I think it was just bad optics.
I agree.
You don't do that to people. You don't cut their mic. Anyways, his mic was put back on. He finished his speech and then he took off. And that was that. So from my perspective, this was all avoidable. I think this was Chris feeling snubbed, and maybe he has a right to feel snubbed, but I don't think he has a right to hijack what we put up and what we put forward. You know, there's a lot of people. He mentioned in your interview that the only reason people were there were to listen to Chris Guy. Well, I disagree. There was a lot of people on this list. Henry Hildebrand, $200,000 in fines for trying to keep his church open. We had Randy Hillier, who's been kicked out of the Conservative Party of Ontario for standing up for his principles. We have Maxine Bernier, who was arrested prior to attending a rally and giving a speech. And leader of the PPC. In fact, Tucker Carlson spoke with Max. We had Derek Sloan, who was kicked out of the Federal Conservative Party. These aren't establishment politicians. These are guys that have stepped out of the establishment to defend our freedoms. Any politician that's willing to do that at great consequence, I'm going to support, and we should support them. We had the Police on Guard, which is an organization of retired and active service members across the country who are going against what they're being asked to do at a police service level. We have to support those people and give them an opportunity to speak. And people were there to listen to those folks. We have the Canadian Frontline Nurses group that was there to speak. So there's a lot of people that were there to speak their truth and speak truth to power. And there was a lot of people in the audience that were there to listen to them. This isn't a Chris Sky movement. This is a freedom movement. And this event turned into, you know, a bit of a, I don't want to swear on your show, but way too much chaos out of ego. And that's my problem. And so this truth needed to be discussed on your show, Stu, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that. You know, Chris claims that there's an email floating around that came from a no reply, and it says that he was invited. I've yet to see this email. I've only seen a screenshot of it. It doesn't make sense from a no reply that there's a conversation. It doesn't make any sense with what Kellyanne Wolf was saying and begging to get him on the stage Monday night, when apparently this email was sent Monday afternoon. So there's a whole lot of things happening that just don't ring true. And I thought it was important to tell your audience and to add some perspective to this situation.
All right. So, Chris, you've heard what Mark has to say.
I heard it twice now because we had the technical difficulties the first time, and it was even less convincing the second time around. So I'll go through it again and let's just refute all the ridiculous points. First of all, they said it was a non-lockdown event. The organizers, Randy Hillier's group, is called No More Lockdowns, but it wasn't an anti-lockdown event. Number one, that's the first lie exposed right there. So, boom. Number two, the only reason I wasn't on the speakers list 2 weeks prior is because up until June 16th, due to the stay-at-home order in Ontario, I was barred from speaking at any public events in Ontario. So after speaking with my lawyer, they told me I was allowed to speak. The reason I chose to speak at the Supreme Court and not Parliament Hill was because Parliament Hill turned into you got to wear orange and only celebrate if you hate Canada. And that's not the message that I was trying to spread. So on June 28th, Kellyanne Wolf reached out to No More Lockdowns, Randy Hillier's group, and they emailed back saying, in no uncertain terms, yes, Chris can speak at the Supreme Court. And just because you saw only a screenshot, that doesn't mean the email doesn't exist. I sent Stu a forward of the actual email with the timestamp. And the best part is I only had that flyer with my name on it the following day after we were given permission to come to the event. And nobody, you saw me promote it to millions of people on every social media platform, live shows and everything else. Not one person said, hey, Chris isn't really coming to speak. No. You allowed me to promote it. You let me bring everybody there. And in fact, even though you talk about all these wonderful speakers on the speakers list, not one other person was mentioned on any of your flyers. any of the so-called official or unofficial flyers. There was only one name on all those flyers, Chris Sky, in big red letters. So to say that I wasn't going to be speaking is ridiculous, especially if you can name one other anti-lockdown or any event I've ever attended anywhere in the world and haven't spoken at. Go ahead. I'm sure you can, but you can't. Then after I arrived, after 5 hours of driving, I get on stage and you guys came up to me and your exact words were, "We," and I tried to ask who "we" was and you didn't want to say, "We did an internal risk assessment and we decided it wasn't in our best interest to allow you to speak today." So basically, you guys used me to promote the event, bring up a large number of the people. I never said every single person was there to see me, but enough of them were there to see me that the only way I got to speak, it was not because of you. That's another lie, Mark. It was because I asked the people and the people had to literally chant, "Let Chris speak," until you guys let me speak. And the reason Randy Hillier ran over and bumped me and told me to go F myself is because he knew I had the email from him inviting me to come. And rather than be a man, instead of a lying, phony politician and admit it, what did he do? He doubled down and made a video where he explicitly looks into the eyes of his supporters through the camera and states, "I was never invited and they wouldn't have invited anybody like me in my questionable past and blah, blah, blah." When in reality, the only reason Randy was ever part of the freedom movement is because he jumped on the coattails of me, Kellyanne Wolf, Vlad from Hugs Over Mask, and the boys from The Line. He begged us to form a group called Fearless Ontario. He said we would get a political aspect to our protest, which would give us legitimacy and a mainstream platform. After 3-4 weeks, him and his little secretary, Michael Snape, were running it like their own little Nazi regime, trying to tell us who we could have at the protest, what type of signs we could have. And when I went to Queen's Park for our Saturday protest, he had literally divided our protest into two, 500 feet apart from each other, to the point where I had to single-handedly rip down the tents, bring everybody together myself, and bring us back together, denounce Randy Hillier and all the phony politicians. And you're just the same because you said, to your knowledge, that's your way of covering your ass. You try to pretend you're a freedom fighter. You're a politician. You're a part of the PPC. Granted, you got 600 votes in your last election and the winner got 30,000. And you guys are trying to pretend like you have this political solution. Even if you got 10 times the support, you're still in last place. Now let's talk about why you guys really didn't want me to speak. What was so contrary to your message? What did I say that didn't fit your narrative? It's my message of united noncompliance. That means everybody, the people coming together, taking off their masks, opening their business, just saying no to the vaccine, and that's how this pandemic ends. But you and your politicians don't like that idea because united noncompliance gives the power to the people and makes politicians irrelevant. And when the people don't need a politician or wait for an election and they can do things themselves, you guys don't even exist because, like parasites, you can't survive without a host. Without the people needing you, supporting you with money and their vote, you're nothing. You're nobody. You don't even exist. And that's why you're up there. And talk about questionable past. You want to talk about Maxime Bernier pretending like he's some non-establishment politician? In 2005, he was the head of the Sustainable Development Committee in the Conservative government. And even after Stephen Harper defunded the program in 2006, your buddy Maxime partnered with George Soros and the Tides Foundation, even though it wasn't government funded, and tried to find ways to use the government to put sustainable development, aka Agenda 2030 policies, down Canadians' throat at the government level to subvert us. In 2008, when he was our foreign affairs minister, he gave $550 million of our tax dollars to Haiti, where his daddy was the ambassador until 2001. And if anybody asks him where that money went, he'll just block you like he blocked me on social media because he's a coward and a thief. And then in 2010, what did he do? Mr. Anti-globalist, anti-establishment, did everything he could to get us a member seat on the UN Security Council and is quoted as saying that we need more integration with the UN as it's integral to Canada's future. Oh, that's an anti-globalist right there. And now that he's the so-called freedom fighter trying to represent, you guys tried to talk trash about me writing a book that tried to teach people that this is a scam, shows people how to overcome propaganda, shows people how to end this with united noncompliance. Meanwhile, you have people selling face masks with the PPC logo and giving you percentage of the profits directly to Maxime Bernier. You could laugh all you want. It's right on the website. There's a disclaimer and it says profits go to Maxime Bernier. That's what politicians do when you kick them right in the ass. They laugh like it doesn't matter. That's what a fighter does in the ring when they get really hurt from a punch. They smile. So smile again, Mark. Let us know how you really feel. That's what really went on over there. And you tried to pretend like, oh, they cut my mic by accident. No, they cut my mic on purpose. They cut my mic right as I was talking about united noncompliance, right as I was talking about the actual message that will end this pandemic, but it will also end their political careers. And now Randy Hillier is so pathetic. He made that video where he lied directly to his supporters and sent it out from the same email where they sent me the invite. So we got some very, very telling emails, videos, and everything else to prove that not only was I invited, that you guys set it up so you could use me to promote your event, and then you wanted to hijack the freedom movement and turn it into a political campaign. And when I did what I always do, stand up for myself, stand up for truth, justice, and expose the deceivers and the corrupt, you did what every politician always does. You lied. You lied like the spineless, phony cowards you are. And you lie because all that matters to you guys is money and power. You guys don't want united noncompliance because that will set the people free. You don't want to set the people free. You don't want the people to be in control. You just want to be the ones to manage the takeover of Canada. That's every politician. They want to be the ones in charge managing the takeover that's going on. You don't want to stop it. You want to pretend that if people voted Conservative, NDP, or anyone else, we wouldn't have been in lockdown right now? Of course we would. The only way through this is the people. And you're trying to subvert the people with lies. And the so-called People's Party, when I asked you guys on stage, why don't you let me ask the people if they want me to speak? You said vehemently no. Shane Marshall of the Liberty Coalition literally tried to rip it out of my hand. So the People's Party didn't even want to give the people a choice of who they want to speak. That's the kind of people you are, trying to tell people who's allowed to speak, trying to tell people what message we're allowed to convey. That's you guys. And you guys got caught with your pants down, and now you're trying to interrupt me because you're even more desperate, and you're going to get muted because nobody cares what you have to say because you got exposed for the phony people that you are. 600 votes.
Well,
work real hard, Mark. Maybe I'll get 3,000 this time.
I'm not going to mute anybody because I don't believe in cutting people's mics off or muting people. I think everybody should have the opportunity to speak. So, Mark, you heard what Chris had to say to that. You say what?
Listen, Chris is very narrow-minded. All right. If he thinks that his single narrative of no more lockdowns is going to work, just look at Ontario. It's still under restrictions. It's still in under tyranny. Based on that, 95% to 98% of people are still got diapers on their face. They choose to do that. Your message, as important as it is, and I don't disagree with it, and here's maybe a potential politician who is agreeing with your message, Chris, but it's very limited. It's not going to reach the mainstream. The mainstream still believes in the political system. We have to leverage the political system in order to get the message to the people so they understand what this all is, because this isn't about a lockdown. This isn't about a virus. This isn't about any of that. This is all cover to push the globalist agenda, sustainable development agenda, Great Reset. You know that as well as I do. So I'm going to use, and we need to use, every platform given to us, which is precisely why I'm in getting into politics and using that platform to educate as many people as possible, because 95% of Canadians still believe in that, and that's where we're going to reach them. Chris, you're limited in your scope, you're limited in your message and who you're going to affect and inspire. I don't say don't do it, because it's important what you're doing, but we need to use all available platforms.
All right.
And just to speak quickly on the very PPC quickly. And Chris and what he's been saying about the PPC and Max, that was 2005. You basically identified everything that we've said all along since the inception of the PPC, which is that is the Conservative Party where Max was under the thumb of Harper. Everything Max did was in representation of Harper. That's exactly where we are. Max left that party 4 years ago because it was corrupt. It was intellectually corrupt and morally corrupt, and it was globalist. Max left, created his own party, and we are the party that opposes globalism.
All right, I got to step on
board,
in here, Mark.
Help us get the message out.
Okay. You guys, hold on, Chris.
Can I finish?
Yes, you are going to finish.
Okay.
Here's what I need to say. You two have a lot to debate. Both of you bring up really core issues. There is a lot to debate here. Unfortunately, we didn't come here to debate all of that. We came here specifically because Mark is calling Chris a liar about the events that happened in front of the Supreme Court the other day when Chris came on my show, joined me on InfoWars, and then said that he was treated badly. So you have spoken to that. Mark, everybody has heard what you said about the whole political side of this, and that debate will continue, no doubt, in the wide open on prospective social medias and what other platforms you say. Chris, final words.
Regardless of his little attempt to try to change the topic, even though it was all about if I'm a liar or not, and we've thoroughly proved that I'm not the liar, they are the liar. Just to answer what he said about how my thing is a narrow scope, look at the United States of America, Mark. They're making laws that are against face masks. They're making laws that are against the vaccine passport. Why? Because the people stood up for themselves, took off their mask, and opened their business. Stop interrupting. Enough is enough. I put up with enough with you pathetic losers. So shut up. Did they wait for an election? Did they wait for a savior? Or did they do exactly what I'm telling Canadians to do? As for my message not reaching people, Stu, I'm going to send you a couple of videos of what happened when I just walked around downtown Montreal. I wasn't at an event. People didn't know where I was supposed to be there. And we're going to see how the average Canadian reacts to me. Then yesterday, I went to my hometown after Italy won the Euro because I'm an Italian. And the reception I got there from the average person, not even politicians, not even voters, we're talking average Canadians, was exponentially more than all of you pathetic politicians put together. And there's for one reason, because people know that I tell the truth. So if you're going to try to destroy my credibility and pretend I'm a liar, buddy, I'm going to unleash holy hell on you. And I got God on my side. I got right on my side. And you guys got screwed. Bye.
All right. So the full interview is obviously going to be posted at stupeters.tv. I will give you both the link for you to share on your respective social medias. We covered what we were here to cover. I will give you each 30 seconds for a final word if you so choose, unless you feel like you have gotten everything. Mark, first to you.
I think I've gotten everything. It's all good.
Okay, Chris.
My final word is what it always has been. You are responsible for getting out of this. Do not look at me as a savior. Do not look at these politicians as a savior. Do not wait for an election. Don't sit on your ass. Get off your ass, take off your mask, open your business, and just say no to the vaccine. If I was a candidate like these guys, the only reason I would want to be is so I could be on the same platforms as them and they wouldn't be able to run and hide from me. I would tell you all, okay, Don't count on me. Count on yourselves. A real leader runs the country and allows the people to run their own lives. And a real leader is honest above all
right,
not a phony 100%. Politician that blows whatever way the wind blows and tries to cover their ass like this guy right here. Enough is enough.
All right, fellas, it was spirited. There were some fireworks. I hope that both of your truths were explained. We have to get to the bottom of it. We have to get the truth. And united is the only way to go. So I hope that the two of you will find a way to collectively get the masks off of everybody and liberate your country. Honestly, that is the most important thing in the world.
Unless, of course, we bought them from Maxime Bernier, then we should just keep wearing them.
More of the Stu Peters Show right after this. Go nowhere. So-called experts that are leading our country in the efforts to get a needle in every arm will absolutely stop at nothing to accomplish their goal. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. I mean, in the past, I've heard several people having discussions, friends, family, about whether or not they want to vaccinate their children. Anti-vaxxers certainly have beliefs, and those that choose to follow general healthcare recommended protocol that we have historically accepted We'll get the standard vaccines that have been introduced to our children for years. Vaccine injuries do occur, and it's a risk that many are willing to roll the dice with when they're weighing the possible outcomes either way. But again, this push, this particular push is incessant. It's extremely weird. I mean, not only are we looking at these alarming numbers of injury and death, they're factual, they're reported. But amid all of the negative adverse events being reported, the push only increases. I mean, am I on an island here? Imagine 9,000 Americans dying for any other single reason. A guy goes on a rampage at a ball game, kills 9,000 people, physically almost impossible. But if it were to happen, the media would be all over it. How about these headlines? Bad batch of milk kills 9,000 people. Where would the media be then? Over 9,000 dead after terrorists taint U.S. food supply. Or how about this? Hundreds or even thousands of children suspected injured or dead after unexplainable bioweapon hits U.S. Well, where the hell is the media? I mean, we know what to expect from CNN, from MSNBC, major broadcast networks, and having to accept that is just absolutely detestable. It's appalling, distressing, it's abominable. But where's Fox on this? What about these other so-called free and honest alternative news sources? Where are you? There are 9,000 people reported dead. And the push not only continues to ramp up for those of us supposedly able to make our own choice, at least for now, but they're targeting our kids who are unable to decide for themselves. It's why they have parents. This Delta variant. It's designed to make you feel like your kids are at risk to a virus that kills essentially nobody. And they're desperately trying to lower the emergency use authorization so that our kids are eligible for this jab. It's just horrific. Kevin Tuttle snuck in, took his 11-year-old son to a COVID-19 so-called vaccination clinic at a local high school in his community. He had no plans to actually vaccinate his son, but he needed to see what sort of informed consent the Jefferson County Health Department was giving to its patients. So he needed his son to come along. What he found was absolutely appalling, and he joins us now. Kevin, thank you so much for being here. So you took your son to this jab site at a high school in Jefferson County. And what you found was appalling.
It was criminal, not just appalling. It was criminal what they're doing. There was absolutely no informed consent. The informed consent that they gave us was talking points that the CDC gave them. All good things, except for things like soreness in the shoulder. Or one of the nurses joked, if my son, after his vaccine, if he gets an itchy toe or something, let them know with in the V-Safe program after the vaccination. But, you know, what happened that day, we actually went to, this was in Lake Mills, Wisconsin. We went to the high school there where they were performing this vaccination clinic, and we went there to protest. Before the protest, I decided to go in, take my son. And I, you know, my son's name is Leo. And I said, Leo, I need you to just play along. We're going to pretend to get this shot. And my son is not vaccinated, never, ever, you know, praise God for opening my eyes before I had children. So we go into this clinic, and first of all, the rules online were that you had to be registered before attending. You also had to be a resident of that school district of that area and attend school in that area. So none of that was true for me. And I was honest with the people checking us in. I said, hey, you know, my son, I'm worried about this. We heard this clinic was happening here. We're not registered. Can we still do this? And they're like, sure, no problem. They had somebody take us into the gymnasium where there's tons of kids in there, all getting this bioweapon injected into them without informed consent. So they gave me a sheet of paper to fill out, you know, the form of name, address, all that stuff. All of it was fake, except for my son's first name. I let him know his name was Leo, but I wanted, you know, I didn't want to surprise my son when they call Jimmy and, you know, he's not going to answer to that.
Right,
so,
yes.
So, you know, I made a fake name, fake address, fake phone number, fake email, everything. Not once until we were sitting down did anyone even ask who I was in relation to this boy I brought in. They had no identification for me nor him. You know, he's 11. Might he be 10? Is that okay? Is that okay for the CDC to inject 10-year-olds without, you know, anything, without any proper studies or anything? So there's no checking whatsoever. You know, there was a little girl in front of us at the same nurse that we ended up seeing, and she was terrified of getting this shot. And rather than the nurse say, you know what, you don't have to do this, there are other options, and also you're a child that has 0% risk of getting, of, you know, dying from COVID, rather than being honest, she got somebody to come hold her hand while she injected her. And Sue, I was just tearing up at this point. And
I can't
almost
imagine the feeling of not actually physically intervening. You had to be physically holding yourself back at that point.
I actually stood up and I was about to say, like, scream, don't do it. And right then it happened. You know, I'm watching it. And then I felt, was that my purpose here, to save this girl? And I blew it. And it still makes me emotional thinking about that. But, you know, I wanted to get this lack of informed consent on video from these people. And it was shocking. You know, even as I brought up questions to them about bears, you know, I was pretending like I'm ignorant about these subjects. I said, I read on bears this morning, you know, the vaccine adverse events reporting system, that we've had over 4,000 deaths.
Yeah, let's take a look at right now what exactly it was that they did, how they handled that when you specifically brought up VAERS. Let's take a look at that.
So, you dad, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the emergency use authorization talks about common side effects, serious side effects. The most common side effects, I would say, is your arm can maybe be a little sore. For the next couple days, you could feel a little tired. You can have a little headache. A little achy. Typically, I tell people for the arm pain, use the arm. Okay, so the more you work the muscle, the better it's going to be. So,
okay. Can I ask a couple questions?
It can happen with any vaccination, like the tetanus, the measles, or mumps, rubella.
And these have been researched in the same way? Like, we have nothing to worry about with these?
Yeah, they have been extensively researched. I mean, this is an emergency use authorization. It's in the current stages of being approved by the FDA, but right now it's not approved for emergency use only. Pfizer, the Johnson & Johnson, and the Moderna.
Okay.
There's a couple of other out there that we're not using yet, approved in the United States. AstraZeneca. Questions? Have you had...
No, not yet. Not yet. So I'm here with him, but I'm pretty leery. And, yeah, you know, I'm hearing things like, I don't know, like in VAERS, for example, there's been a lot of deaths that have occurred. And they're saying in VAERS there's only 1% of people are even reporting it. So I'm curious, like, if there's 4,000 deaths after the shot, which is currently in the database, which I just looked up this morning. And if that's 1%, who's to say that?
Elizabeth could probably help a little bit. This is dad of Leo. He's got a lot of qualms about the virus and asking about statistics and everything, about the VAERS and how many deaths there have been and how many have actually been reported. I don't have those statistics.
I also do not have it, but there is a couple websites that I can give you. I can write down on them. They have, it's a specific website on the CDC that has the vaccine efficacy and a lot of different information specifically regarding the VAERS reports that are sending and all of that. So I'll write all of them
okay.
down for
you
right
you now. Want you can just tell it to me.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just not anybody to just. Okay. Okay.
Are you wanting to give this vaccine, Leo?
Yeah.
Okay. I always ask the kids, too. Are you wanting
to give this vaccine? All right. So the relevant efficacy data is going to be cdc.gov/coronavirus/2019. And then /vaccines/effectiveness. Other website that I'm going to give you. They have the link to the EUA, which you have here. And if you actually go to the website on that from DHS, you can click more within it.
Okay.
So that's just fda.gov/EUA.
Sure.
And then the last one that we have is a DHS vaccine safety and efficacy website also. So that's www.dhs.wisconsin.gov /COVID-19 and then /vaccine-safety.htm. And that's going to be where you can find all of the up-to-date information that you'll, it's going to be able to have the most up-to-date statistics, where we could tell you what the statistics are now, but then in 2 days they could change again. Okay. So I would always go to that website. Our health department also has a dashboard. So if you go to like our social media page, we have an actual COVID-19 dashboard, and we put all of the most up-to-date information on there also. And any website that you're able to, any time you're able to go to the Department of Health Services website with for Wisconsin, they have a ton of really, really amazing links. And if there's a specific resource that you're looking for, we can find it and we can email that stuff to you too. Because there's so much for us to be able to keep everything here, it'd be really difficult. But we can absolutely have one of our staff members email to you right now too, if you need any of that.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Do you want me to have any of that stuff emailed to you right now while we're waiting, so you don't have to go home and look for it?
No. You know, I think I better. I'm not feeling completely comfortable with this yet. Okay. So.
You want to hold off on
it? Yeah, I think it's best to just hold off because.
Yeah. Okay. You need to. I don't feel like there's a rush.
Okay, so you bring up VAERS. She kind of. It seems like almost. I'm ignorant to this. Let me bring in this person. And then it's
right.
Still really not addressed. Just completely blew it off. Skipped right over the fact that there's 9,000 people dead.
Right. But at that time, in fairness, it was only 4,000. So who cares? 4,000 coincidences aren't as much. You know. But yeah, it was. They pretended that it wasn't even an issue. You know, just go to the CDC. And one of the stats, one of the reasons she gave me for not giving me the updated stats on VAERS is, we don't want to give you those stats today because they could change tomorrow. I'm like, what? How is that? That doesn't even make any sense. I couldn't even compute how, you know, evil and unjust these people were and what they were doing to these children for no reason. And, you know, after this whole thing, we went out to protest and I had a bullhorn and I'm yelling at every parent that is going in there to the school, don't do it. There is no risk to your children to with COVID. There is a risk with this shot. Don't do it. And
let
nobody
me ask
listened.
You a question. Do you think that what you were seeing there was just genuine ignorance, or do you really think it was obvious evil? Do you think these people, essentially, do you think that the people, the volunteers, or whoever these people are at this Jefferson County clinic, do you think that they really actually deep down do know what this is doing? Or do you feel like they're just do-gooders, they're sheep, they've drank the Kool-Aid, they listen to the mainstream media, they believe the CDC is for us, and all of these deaths are just, that can't be associated with this. What's your feeling on that?
I think a lot of people have good intentions, quite honestly. You know, I don't want to paint them all with a brush of evil, but I know that the Jefferson County Health Department, all these health departments know the facts. They know that children are not at risk. They know that there's been 9,000 deaths. They know all of these things, and they're not telling it. They are violating the Nuremberg Code at every one of these things. They are not providing informed consent, and what they're doing is illegal. You know, and back in Nuremberg, in World War II, those Nazi doctors were not exempt from being tried afterwards. Neither should these people be. Every person that is putting a needle in the arm of children should be held accountable for this.
Absolutely. Have you taken any action specifically in Jefferson County? Have you talked with any of these officials subsequent to your visit here and the lack of informed consent? Have you written any emails? Have you gotten any response?
I have. I've written emails to both the Jefferson County Health Department telling them what they did that day was illegal. I told them they didn't check any of my personal information. They didn't, you know, if they would have injected my son, which they were still all too willing to do. You know, he couldn't even answer a question, when is your birthday? Because I put a fake birth date down and he didn't know what to say. And all I said was, he's kind of nervous. And the nurse says, okay, you know, didn't make her suspicious of anything. The goal was to inject as many children as possible. It didn't matter, you know, if they could verify any details or not. But I mean, the whole thing is just.
So have they said if they're going to look into this? Have they said if they're going to do anything about it? If they're going to change any protocol? I mean, or are they just going to go on continuing to not be able to verify any of this and then just continue inoculating kids just at will?
They did not respond to me. I wrote a letter to the school board, which did not respond to me because the school board gave them authorization to be at the high school for this clinic. No response from them. I did get a response back from an epidemiologist at Lake Mills or at Jefferson County Health Department who put my name in quotation marks, you know, as a way to, I believe, to talk down to me from the beginning. And he offered his services so, you know, that we could talk. But the whole email was a demeaning type of email, and I responded in such.
Yeah, you're just
condescending.
You're just a stupid little citizen. What do you know? I'm the expert here. Right. I'm the expert. For those of you that don't know or are not familiar, Mr. Tuttle referred to Nuremberg. That code in part says, quote, the person involved should have legal capacity to give consent, should be so situated as to be able to exercise free power of choice without the intervention of any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or other ulterior form of constraint or coercion, and should have sufficient knowledge and comprehension of the elements of the subject matter involved as to enable him to make an understanding and enlightened decision, end quote. So if you were not awake, in other words, if you had not previously done your research, do you feel like any of that applied when you went to that school? And moreover, do you think that your son Leo had any idea of any of those things? Was there coercion? Was there deception? Was he misled? Were you misled? All of those things. Was Nuremberg violated in your eyes?
Nuremberg was violated every step of the way. There was no informed consent. There was propaganda that was given to us. There was no risk talk, no real risk talk. They didn't mention anything about anyone dying or even severe adverse events like Bell's palsy, you know, myocarditis, anything along those lines.
Myocarditis, that's just mild.
Right.
You see some of the propaganda that's out here, and it's mild cases of myocarditis. I would like to talk to any myocarditis survivor. There are a few of them that says that this was a minor incident in their life. Blood clotting, strokes, multiple sclerosis, Guillain-Barré, polio, all of these things, just minor. These people with these unexplained tremors. And don't bother with this magnetism thing. Ignore all of the self-recorded videos of people sticking metal stuff all over their face, brain, collarbones, etc. It's all fake. Don't believe these people. You're not supposed to be magnetized, as far as I know. Claudia, no, you're not supposed to be. Nope. Medical expert that sits here in house with me. I fact check a lot of my own stuff. Says, no, the human body is not supposed to be magnetized. Anyway, I digress. Kevin Tuttle, thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for your service in the Air Force. You didn't say it here on the program, but you previously told me that you were an Air Force veteran. So we appreciate that service as well. And please keep us updated, most importantly, on any headway that you make, any decisions that are made, any changes that you're able to make. What you're doing is incredibly noble. And you are saving lives by speaking out. Without that tape that we just showed here, without your experience, there are millions of people who would not know that this is actually going on. And it's because of you and patriots like you that the word is getting out. Final word.
You know, Stu, thank you for putting the word out here. We are a big community of people who are fighting against the corrupt nature of big pharma, of doctors, of nurses who have no regard for medical liberty, medical freedom. And, you know, without people like you putting it on your show and spreading the word, we'd be lost.
And
so
it's really
thank
not
you
hard.
For taking this up.
That's the thing. It's really not hard. That's what perplexes me about these people over at CNN, Fox, Newsmax, OAN, and all these other places. It's really not hard to tell the truth. Just, I mean, it's eye-popping to me that kids are dying. 9,000 Americans are dead. What's it going to take? Coming up on the program, we are going to be talking to Deanna Lorraine, who, of course, once again, will blow your mind with the Marxist takeover here in the United States. I'm sorry to keep hitting you over the head. I'm glad we had the FBI agent on earlier to tell you how to process and deal with this stuff. The Stu Peters Show continues in 60 seconds. Go nowhere. Unbelievable. Actually, very scary stuff that they were willing to jab this 11-year-old. I mean, that's below the age of the emergency use authorization. And she didn't even care. She didn't care that this kid didn't really know what his birth date was, that they lived outside of the district, that they weren't pre-registered. Minor headache, minor toe tingling. Sick. Had a buddy of mine call me, Stu, why do you keep calling financial advisors communists? He's a financial advisor, of course. Works for one of the big box chains. Your financial advisor might not be a communist. All right, let me just clear the air here. They might be a really good person. You might go bowling with them, go trap shooting with them, golfing, go out for cocktails, all of those things. Your financial advisor might be your neighbor. That's fine. Your financial advisor, if they are working for one of these big box chains, one of these huge financial firms, is a communist by virtue. The Biden regime is sold. They sold out to the CCP. Everything that they do that manipulates Wall Street then trickles down to these financial advisors. The programs that are there are 100% dictated by the CCPs. They're shrinking the value of the dollar. They're devaluing our currency. They're printing money left and right to cover the debt. China owns 100% of our debt almost. Your financial advisor is a communist. Nothing against them. But why would you put your money into the hands of a communist or somebody who's controlled by the communists, manipulated by the Wall Street gangsters? Don't do that. Do business with Carlos Cortez at Cortez Wealth Management. He's an independent fiduciary. He's a God-fearing patriot. He's a family man. He's a husband. He's a father, and he cares about our constitutional republic. That is the person that you should be trusting with your finances, your future, and what you're going to leave your kids. Call Carlos Cortez in the office anytime at 813-448-3446. Again, 813-448-3446, or visit him online anytime at CortezWM.com. Make sure that you tell him that Stu Peters sent you when you go to CortezWM.com. And we are out of time for today. Remember, you can always reach me in my encrypted Proton Mail, StuPeters@ProtonMail.com. If you have tips or things that you would like us to look into, I read them all. It may take me some time to get back to you, but if you have a cause or something that you'd like us to support, again, StuPeters@ProtonMail.com. Don't forget, the truth lives at StuPeters.tv, and you can always support the program by being a billboard for truth. A billboard for truth. Go to StuPeters.shop. Get yourself one of the StuPeters.tv shirts at StuPeters.shop. When people ask, you haven't heard of this? You haven't heard of StuPeters.tv? You can red pill people out there. Until tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way that you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. Maybe be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the one that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car. And when they do,